cart right now.
Yes, I know how to do this thing.
Wait, let me get this.
We're looking Gucci. There we go. And we are ready to clap in. 3, 2. welcome to episode 3 of G-Wall Chronicles podcast. This is your host, E. Pesos, and I have a special guest in the building. Introduce yourself.
I know what's going on. Brass kill him. Brass because I'm a dog. Kill him because I dominate. I'm not cocky. I'm confident. They know what's going on. Big Jersey.
Say that hot shit. Brass killing him.
That's my thing.
So Brass killing him. Where Brass killing him came from?
Originally born Plainfield, New Jersey. But I went to school like New Brunswick, Somerset area. Okay. So like,
Okay. So, you know, what we do here on G-World Chronicles podcast, we talk about, prison experiences, whether you did one day or 100 days, whether you've been in handcuffs one time or 100 times, it's still an experience that come along with all that.
Right.
Now, I mean, I've been hip to young, for the record, y'all, she's a dope spitter. Let me just give you a little background on how I even found her. When I was on another podcast interviewing someone, she had tapped into a comment. And I wound up going to her page. And if I certify somebody on a music tip, they're official. Because I'm like that. You know what I'm saying? Just a little, you know, throw it out there real quick. You know what I'm saying? I don't certify everybody. You know what I mean? I get people to listen. I'm a truck driver, so I'm able to get on the road and listen to whole projects. You know what I'm saying? And I don't listen from a listener's ear. I listen from an artist's ear. What would I have done? How would I have came in? How would I have broke down that? You know what I'm saying? And you hit a lot of key points. And even with me doing your promo, a lot of my guys been tapping in like, yo, shorty tough. Like,
yeah, I've seen some people.
You know what I'm saying? I'm like, word. I'm like, she is tough. Like, I mean, I wouldn't mind. Actually, honestly, I wouldn't mind doing a track with you. You know what I'm saying?
I got
a whole recording studio, and we could definitely get in, lock in, and do all that. You know what I'm saying? But definitely, now, I mean, but along my research, you know, I see that you are currently going through a situation, and you've been through a situation that involves what we talk about in this podcast. So I just want to tap in with you real quick.
All right, let's get into it.
I see. So you're from Plainfield, right? So
yeah.
We ain't got to go about that. What do you think? How old was you when you first got in trouble with the law?
Like ever?
Ever.
Not like ever. Then, like just ever.
Ever. First time.
I was like 13.
13. What the hell you was doing at 13 years old?
I got arrested at school. These boys used to bully me in school, and they had came and put ketchup in my hair.
Ketchup in your hair?
I started fighting the boy. I started tweaking in the cafeteria. A security guard came, and she like slammed me on the table, and I blacked out on her. Like, I took it all the way there. And
so you ain't popping on the boys. You popping on the security guard.
I popped on both. I was popping off on the boys. I was fighting the boys, and then that's when the security came and got me. But I'm like, they bullying me, so why are you getting me? Why are you not getting them? And I started fighting her, and I ended up arrested, and she took me to court. My mom had to take me to court because the school pressed charges.
Damn, so I'm assuming you got kicked out of that school after that, right?
They let me come back. Like, the following year, I had to do homeschool for, not like homeschool, alternative school. And then I was able to come back the following year.
But that was your response to somebody fucking with you.
Yeah,
so it wasn't like that was your...
Yeah, because like, why y'all putting ketchup in my hair? Now, I was like 13.
So let's turn the page back. You was 13. Let's go back a little deeper than that. You come from both parents, single parent home? What?
Single parent home. Like, I know my dad, but mom raised me.
So you think like... That's what give you that edge, like that, because you got like...
Probably, yeah. You know, and I got a lot of brothers.
You got a lot of brothers. So you
I
grew
got
up
five.
So, five brothers. Older brothers.
Yeah, they all older than me.
So every wrestling...
Well, we stair steppers.
So every wrestling move they ever learned, they tried it on you. I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
I used to fight my brothers. Like, we was in there, like, really fighting.
Because I got a niece, and she's rough and tough right now the same way, and because I tried every wrestling move on her. Every time I seen somebody... DDT, I'm gonna go DDT her ass real quick. And that's just what it was.
Wrestling, fighting. One of my brothers, he went to Marines. He was a firefighter, so they used to do stuff like tie me up to a chair and see how long it take for me to get out the chair. Or like
survival skills.
I got waterboarded before to see how long, like how I'm gonna get out, like to be able to get up.
Survival skills.
Fought them, like really, like, you know, as kids we just playing, but like I'm tough though.
You know what? Like a lot of big brothers be beat up on our little sisters or our nieces, and it's for a reason. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because I'm sure, I don't know if you've ever been into a domestic situation with another man, but those things came in handy. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Even with fighting with another young female, right, you had the edge on her because you was able to plant your feet a certain way or mm-hmm. throw your punches. I ain't throwing like a girl. Oh, right. Wow. I'm throwing straight down the pipe.
Yeah. Stance, you know what I'm saying?
Matters. Stance matters. And everything. Right. I mean, had you not had that brotherly toughness, mm-hmm. to some growing up, it might look like, oh, y'all picking on her. Nah, we training because we ain't ever going to always be around.
Yeah.
And I need to know that my little sister going to be all right. You know what I'm saying? Like, so, yeah, I get that. I get that. That's what's up. Mm-hmm. So, 13 was your first situation. What was your next one?
So, I was like, I think I was like 20.
Okay.
I got this cousin, but he's trans. And we was having like an argument, and like he popped on me, and then I got arrested that day because I tweaked again. But the case ended up getting dismissed because it's like he was a man. Even though he dressed as a woman, he was a man. So that was like the next one.
That's crazy. I mean, it's glad they was able to reclassify that, because a lot of times they charge as if you for a young lady and shit like that. That's crazy.
But he's like 6'1". I'm 5'1" now, imagine. 20 years old.
How long was that stay? A few hours, days, or what?
No, it was like a few hours. Probably was in there like 8 hours. Then my mom had to like come pick me up from there.
So 20 years old now, mm-hmm. handcuffed, car out front. You know you're going in that motherfucker. Like,
yeah.
How was that? Like, tell me about that. Like, oh shit. Like a simple fight turned to now I'm going to the goddamn county jail for this goofy shit.
I'm kind of mad, cause I was sitting there for mad long. Like that's what like, and then I was a little scared too, cause I'm like, they leave you sitting there and then they disappear. And right. I'm like, what if something happened?
Yeah, that's called diesel therapy. That's the anticipation that you sitting there like, yo, hurry up.
Yeah, I was banging like, on come thing. On. I was banging on things screaming, hello. Like,
and they sitting there laughing at all that shit.
Yeah, like
you
hours went by before they came. And I'm like, do y'all know something could have happened to me? I'm using everything in the book. I'm like, do y'all know, like, I have epilepsy, I have asthma, y'all just leaving me here? Like, are y'all cool? Like, are y'all about to get sued?
Is you cool?
Yeah, like, y'all about to get sued in here.
Alright, so that was when you was 20 years old. Mm-hmm. Alright, and that situation got resolved through courts and all that and all that. Okay.
Both of those was dismissed.
So now you was in the room, like, by yourself type shit. You wasn't migrating with, like, mm-hmm. population or shit like that. Mm-hmm. Okay, now, that was 20. How old was the next one?
21.
Right back.
Yeah, all of it was, like, fighting stuff. I got into a situation with my baby father. But my baby dad is African. Okay. But he's not, like, hood African. He's, like, a traditional African. Like, obey African.
Obey African, right.
A lot. It was bad. It was a lot with that. And he was having, like, immigration issues, trying to tell me, like, you gotta do this, you gotta do that. And he had tried to take my son one time. He was supposed to have my son for the weekend. And, like, he tried to leave with my son. So he went and, like, bring my son downstairs to me. And I tried to, like, kick his door in to run in there to get my son. And I ended up getting arrested. And then I didn't go to the county that day, though. I was just in the police station. I got arrested. I was there for, like, 10 hours. They released me. And then the next morning, I went to, like, my baby dad's house. And he was gone with my son. He had left the state. So
what?
That was a whole thing.
Whoa. Whole kidnapping issue.
That was a whole thing.
Sheesh, I could imagine the emotional
stress
from that.
It was bad. It took like 6 months. Because he went to Vermont.
Oh, this wasn't the next
Vermont
day shit.
Vermont laws are different than Jersey. So, basically, he tried to get like his green card like that. Like, he tried to say, like, my child was abandoned to him. The child was born in the United States. And he's Africa. And he tried to, like, do that.
Somebody put him on that. First of all, we don't even know this. We from here. Mm-hmm. We live here, and we don't even know that you could do that.
No, you could do that. But
no, but I didn't even... To go to Vermont, like, somebody told him, or he did extensive research.
Nah, somebody told him. Somebody definitely told him.
Like...
But that happened, and I got arrested out there, too. Because, like, I tried to go get my son from Vermont. I took somebody's car, and I drove 6 hours. And when I found out the address, because what I did was I put out a missing person report on both of them. And then when they, like, I guess they was doing their research, and they called me, like, you know, we had a welfare check, you know. When they were asking me possible people that he knew, I gave them everybody, and it came back that he was in Vermont. And in Vermont was, like, this white family that took him in when he first came to the States. He was, like, an exchange student. So he was there with them, with my baby. So I ended up driving up there. They ended up calling the sheriff over there because I was at the lady house. Like, bring my son. I don't care if my son 20 miles. I don't care where at. I'm coming. Like... But
yeah, for yours, hell yeah.
Yeah, so
that ain't even a topic of discussion.
But I didn't go to jail out there. Like, they had arrested me, put me in a car. My baby father ended up talking to them. They ended up letting me go. They told me to go back to Jersey and wait to see what happened with the court. So everything had to be through paperwork. But eventually, they told him, like, you have to bring this child back to the mother's home state or you will be deported in 7 days. And he brought my baby back, so.
Nice.
That's the whole thing.
Sheesh.
I don't know.
Damn.
It'd be bad. My crash outs be valid. I be trying to tell people. They be thinking I just have anger issues. My crash outs be valid.
I mean, it sounds like people be fucking with you. You gotta respond. You know what's crazy? I don't like when people call it crashing out when I'm just responding to what you, like, what am I supposed to...
I think I take it too far.
But who's to say, you can't tell me how to get you back.
Yeah. If I'm saying I go too far, I went too far.
I be taking it far, I'm not gonna lie.
She said it, she admitted it. She said,
I take it far. Like, something that could have been an easy, like, we could have had a conversation, or even fought. Like, me, I already picture in my head, like, 30 different ways about how I'm about to handle you, because you had me that fucked up.
I'm doing my alarm.
Yeah, it's bad. But I'm working on it, guys.
Hit the button. Hit the button on the side.
I'm working on it.
But
working on the crash outs.
Nothing.
I just turned it off because it was red at the top. It's not red.
God damn it. Yeah.
I did it.
So... Sounds by age 21, you've been through a fairly number of things.
Mm-hmm.
By the age of 21, that's some different shit right there. Having to go, it takes 6 months to get your kid back.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I commend you for not crashing out every day of the week behind that shit. Like,
yeah, I was depressed. I wasn't sleeping. I wasn't eating. Cause like, how you feel comfortable keep living? Like your kid is somewhere. So it was a lot, but he ended up coming back.
Okay. All right. So now that was 21.
Mm-hmm.
What was the next one?
Nah.
22.
No. Nah. I think I had like a good little couple of years. I was good until this most recent situation. So
we're
this
not
situation
going,
was last year.
Now, due to legalities, we're not going to touch.
Mm-hmm.
On certain days in that case. You're still fighting that case. You're still going to do that right now. You know what I mean? I'm sure with legal purposes, you don't want to talk about certain things.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you feel mentally about the cases you're going through right now? Like, let's just say you got to go in there and do some time. Like, how you feel about that?
I'm upset. Only because I think that when people have, like, a history of reacting to things a certain way or... a certain emotion that automatically people think, yeah, she did this happened. But I'm like, for the first time in a long time of stuff that happened, like, I actually didn't do what was said that I did. It's crazy because I don't really play police games like that.
Right.
But, you know, this specific person, I called the police on them and had them removed from my house. And then 4 days later, I had a warrant. And I was like, how? So
the first time you try to actually do something
good,
the right
yeah.
way, it backfires on you.
Yeah, so mentally I felt some type of way because I wasn't locked up for a long time. It's like 30 days, but
okay.
it's the like the thought of just being there and not being able to talk to nobody and not being able to call when you want to call. And then even when you're calling, not knowing what's going on, like having to have my mom driving around and mm-hmm. get this and do that and making sure my apartment good. And then my son still like wondering where's my mom at.
And what kind of jail was this?
Essex County.
Essex County jail.
Yeah.
So give me.
Even that was like.
That you had a bell or you was just sitting?
No, I was just sitting.
So day one. You walk in. You pull up to the Essex County Jail. Day one.
First of all, day one, I was losing it already. I had an attitude, and I was like, they had me. I went, turned myself in to the police station, thinking, whatever. They put me in this van. I'm sitting in a van for like 5 hours before the van actually pull off. And it was only like two of us in it. It was me on one side and the guy on another side, handcuffed in the van. It was so cold, because this was, like, last year, October. It was so cold. And I had on, like, a t-shirt smaller than this. I had on, like, a tank top shirt, because it was, like, I was just like, oh, my God, please. Like, what are we doing? Like, I was
in Did you know you was going to the county jail?
I didn't even know I was going to the county jail. I just thought, like, I don't know what's going on. I'm just thinking, like, I didn't know I was going to county until once they came. It was, like, these people are being transported. And then it didn't hit me until we actually pulled up. And even then when we pulled up, it was like 2 o'clock in the morning. And we still didn't even get in the county until like 8 o'clock. So we was in the van outside because they had to wait for every other van to come with every other, whoever else was arrested, wherever else they was arrested from, to go in there. So it was like 10 hours of just sitting in cold waiting to go in there.
So now that was, I'm sure, was like nerve wracking. That was like, let's hurry up and get to the jail, please. Like now
it was going to be not a piece of cake, but I'm thinking, you know, they're going to let me out. Like, I'm thinking, like, we're going to go in here. They're going to take my picture. I'm going to sit. They're going to have me see a judge. I'm going to go home. That did not happen at all. First of all, I didn't even get to see the judge on my first morning there. I was just in the cell. Everybody's like, oh, you know, you're going to see the judge. And then it wasn't until like 2 days later. Mm-hmm. That's when it was really hitting me. Like, once I had to sleep there, that's what really, like, did it for
how
me.
How was that sleep on that bed? Actually, how was, when you know, they tell you, you in a cell, nine or whatever cell you got to go to. Mm-hmm. You looking around, you seeing all the females in there, was there any nervousness? Was there any, like,
hope? I wouldn't say nervousness. I was more nervous for myself, because I know myself. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I hope nobody see, like, oh my God, it's a new girl here. And then I'm already small, 5 foot. At the time, they let me go in there with my wig on, because my wig was sold on. I had lashes on. My nails and stuff was done. I had just got, like, really cute a couple days before this even happened, because I had a show. So I'm like, I feel like these people gonna try me in here. But luckily nobody tried me. It was this one girl. She was like banging on my cell door, because like the guys are across like from the window, like mm-hmm. the little thin window. And they used to be in the window doing weird stuff. And then, you know, like the toilet is right here and the guys could see you through the window. So I had to take like toothpaste and take a tissue to cover the thing so they wouldn't look. And one of the girls came to my cell like banging on the door, yelling through the door like, you pass a note to what my nigga through the window? And I'm just looking like, girl, I just put a paper on my little cell door, because I'm like, I know you don't think I'm in here writing notes on the paper to put in a window. My son is at home wondering where I'm at, and you talking about is I'm messaging somebody with a paper in a window. So, yeah.
That was their way of communication. That's just real. That is a real loud way of talking. What was that night on that hard-ass bed? Like, another mattress?
I didn't sleep.
Like, this thin.
Yeah, and the little sheet thing was little. I didn't sleep. I didn't sleep. I was just like, I was just up. Like, all right, hurry up. Like, I'm counting the time. Like, when the door opened to go to court. Like, when are they going to come get us to go to court?
So you get to court 2 days later.
And they're like, the prosecutors saying the reasons why they feel like I should be detained. The public defender is saying why I shouldn't. And they end up keeping me anyway. Because she's like, oh, you know, she has failure to appear, blah, blah, blah. And they end up keeping me. So I'm like, okay. I didn't have court again for like a week, like a whole week. So when I went to that court date, they're like, certain things that was found in the case, they didn't do their research about it. Mm-hmm. So the judge is like, oh, we're going to check back on this case next week. And I had to sit for another week while they gave the prosecutor time to look for...
Lucky they didn't say next month or 3 months.
Yeah.
Down the line, how they be scheduling inside the courts. That shit be crazy.
Then when the next week came, it wasn't no court. So it wasn't until like the fourth week. And then finally the prosecutor came, whatever they had presented, and the judge, he read through everything. He's like, you know, like this person is going to be released due to like the lack of evidence. And they was like, you know, he didn't believe that prosecution would stand trial if they decided to move forward with this case.
Okay.
And because of certain things, like my home was searched without a search warrant. They had an arrest warrant, but not a search warrant. Right. So I was released because of that.
You know what? I'm glad you said that, right? Because that's something I was just speaking to one of my partners about. Mm-hmm. You got two different type of warrants out here. Mm-hmm. You got a body warrant and you got a search warrant. Mm-hmm. The body warrant is we're looking for breasts.
Right.
Now, in the midst of a search warrant with a body warrant, if they come across a gun, drugs, any type of paraphernalia, you got to walk past that. Mm-hmm. You didn't even see that because you're here for the person. Now, if you got a search warrant, I can gather up all this paraphernalia and use it against you because I'm looking for paraphernalia, drugs, guns, et cetera, et cetera. So a lot of people don't understand that. I got a warrant for who? For what? I got a search warrant and we're looking for Mr. So-and-so. Go on in. He's not here.
So, you know what I'm saying? It was Orange Police Department, and what they had wrote in their little discovery was that, like, they had probable cause to search. Mm-hmm. But the judge is like, yeah, y'all had probable cause to search her bedroom because
the victim... That was the room that she was staying in.
Yeah.
Right.
The victim in this case said whatever happened here. Y'all were not supposed to go beyond this part of this house. If you wanted to go beyond, you would have had to have a search warrant, and it would have had to be presented. Now, the other thing is, I was not home when my house got searched. There was a friend of a person that I date there, and he was there, and he didn't even give them permission to search.
Right.
Like, they asked them if I was home. He told them I wasn't home. And they pushed beside him to come in anyway. Mm. And the girl who made the report, they had her with them to come in because she said she lived there. But she didn't even live there. She stayed with me for like 5 days.
So he left somebody in my house that didn't even live there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it'd be little things like that why cases get thrown out. Mm-hmm. Big cases get thrown out. Like, big cases get thrown out behind goofy shit like that. Mm-hmm. Cool, that's what's up. Okay. So now...
And even if, like, they try to say a thing like, oh, like, in their report, they try to say he gave consent. But then it was like, even if that was a thing, that's still illegal. He's not on my lease. He does not live in my home. So they try to find little ways around it.
Yeah. Happening. And that's for your attorney to find them loopholes and blow them shits up. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So... Mentally, it messed me up because I'm like, dang, the first time, like, I actually did something good and I really didn't do nothing crazy. Like, I really was trying to help somebody who went against me. I made you leave. This is the result of it. And it was so much more that happened after that. Start to find out things, like, people that you trust.
Oh, yeah.
It was so much that was coming up. I was just like... How is that this happened if this person was here? And how did this person not do this if this person... Like, I had so many questions. And a lot unfolded.
Them get out of jail free cards is real.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You got people out here that get paid to set people up. Paid to lie. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And it affects the other person. You know what I'm saying? Because you wind up like... You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. And I was upset because the girl that I helped was the ex-girlfriend to my ex-boyfriend. And he used to beat her. He, like, broke her nose and everything. Like, that's why she called me. And I helped her because I used to date the brother. So it's like, I know you're not telling a lie. Like, right, they crazy. But then, like, I guess in the midst of her being at my house, she ended up getting back with him while at my house. And I come home and she have him in my house. And that was, like, the straw of it. Like, no, you gotta go. Like, you wildin'. Like, why would you even bring them here?
Right. And one thing led to another.
Yeah, it was just a lot.
I get it. A lot of emotional stress, a lot of...
The most thing that I think that hurted me the most out of everything is because I wasn't with my child. And anybody who know me, like, my son is my best friend. Like, right. I'm his mother first, but he adores me. Like, if he was here right now, he would be... He takes my pictures and put them in front of his TV. Like, I have picture frames of, like, photo shoots and stuff. He puts my pictures in his room. Like... Mommy, you're my first love. I love you so much. Like, he adores me. So, I'm trying to help y'all, and y'all put me in a position to be away from him.
Yeah, young men, young
men. I don't trust nothing. No more.
Young men, we love our mothers. I'm saying so.
He's a mama's boy for sure.
Oh, yeah.
And they know I don't play with him. My mom be like, you babying him. No. Don't touch him. Don't yell at him. Don't say nothing to him. Don't nothing. Even my brothers, like, I know, like, men post, like, harden up the boys.
So, tell me about the nights when you was crying in the sub. Tell me about those nights.
Like, so, this is the thing. I don't want to sound super tough, but I was not crying in there. Mm-hmm. I swear, the day I got released, that's when everything came out. Because my mom been arrested before. She did, like, 4 years in Clinton. So, she had prepared me for that moment. Like, I called her when I turned myself in so she could come get my son. Mm-hmm. And she's like, you know, put on sweatpants. Put on a white t-shirt. If you wear this, they'll let you keep it on. You can keep this. Like,
soldier.
They're going to give you like 3 underwears. Double up your underwears. Wash this out in the sink. Hang it up there. Like, yeah. She was showing me, like, this is what, when you get there, this is how it's going to go. This is what you need to do when you're there. And I pretty much did everything she told me. But, and she, the main thing she was saying, like, was not to cry. Like, don't go on, don't tell nobody your business. Don't talk about your case. The girl's going to be in there, oh, you cute, you try to talk, like, fuck all of that, like, just worry about you. And she was telling me, like, do not cry, like, don't show no type of emotion, like, they're going to try to take that and make that something else, like, do not do it. So, I did not cry the whole time I was in there.
So, how's it feel to have a mom that's with the ship?
It's like, be 50-50, because I know, like, she my rider. Like, we be having moments where we go at it, but that's my rider. Like, that's my forever. Like, when everything else go wrong, that's the one that's going to come.
You only get one of those.
So,
God forbid, you got to go away. That's who your son going to be with.
Yeah, my mom. Okay. Yep. So, but, yeah, I did not cry. My mom picked me up. My son was in school when she came to pick me up. So, she was outside the county. And they let me out the doors. And I was looking crazy because then they ended up, I had to cut my hair out. So then I had to take my braids out, cut my hair out, the clothes. I was just looking crazy. And I seen her parked in a little lot with my sister. I ran to the car so fast. I got in the car and started crying immediately. Like, oh my God.
Now, how was it dealing with the authority in there, like somebody telling you what to do, when to eat, where to go to sleep? Like, how was you able to take into that? Like, was that?
That didn't really bother me, because, like I said, my mom was already preparing me.
Right.
So my mom was already trained, like, not to let this, like.
And these conversations was prior to this case, or those things that you want to
use? No, this was, like, I told her what was going on. I'm like, I gotta turn myself in for something. And that's when that conversation happened. Like, I knew about her past with jail. Like, she always opened with us with that. But in the moment where I had to go, like, she was like,
"Well, tell mom if you want to get her. Tell mom if you want to interview her."
She might not come because she do not like this camera. Like, she even asked me today, like, on a podcast, because she don't really like, you know, she my mom. She don't really like when I talk about certain things, especially if it's like a family thing, because, you know, certain stuff she don't agree with. Like, you feel like this and I feel like this. Like, she'd be like, nah, that's not how that happened. Like, she don't be agreeing with certain stuff I want to talk about. But I'm like, you know, that's from my perspective.
Interpretation, right.
So, Like, A Squad just interviewed me not long ago about my brothers and how I'm so tough. And I was telling them, like, yeah, like, my brothers used to tie me up, waterboard me, this is that. And my mom called me and did not like that. Like, why you go up there telling them people? So, she do not do nothing that God do, interviews and cameras. I'm not talking to nobody. Like, it's hard to get her to come to a show. Like, she'll come to a show, but I got to really tell her, like, this is important. I need you here, and she'll show up. Now, but she do not play. She do not play like that.
So now, are you writing music while you in there?
Yeah. So, first of all, it took me like 4 days to get a pencil because I didn't have nothing to write with. I didn't have no paper.
Man, it's a weapon.
Mm-hmm. But then I finally was able. One of the girls in there ended up giving me one of her pencils, and then there was like a CEO gave me some paper, and I was in there like. Like, hustle and flow, making beats on the little metal table, and writing.
Now, was you rapping for some of the young ladies in there, or was you keeping it to yourself?
I think, like, one of the people knew me. It was this girl who came in, maybe, like, a week after me, and we knew each other from the outside, and she blew it up to everybody, like, do y'all know who that is? Do y'all know who that is in here? Like, that's my girl. She could rap. And then that's what all the girls like. She could rap. So the CEO's like, they gonna like let me stay out an extra hour if I freestyle for them. And so I freestyle for them. Right. They let me stay out on the thing.
Nice. That's what's up. Yeah. So now you've been rapping for how long?
Since I was like 9.
You wrote your. That's when you was. How long you been taking it serious?
Since I was like 16. Okay. But my first time in a real studio, because my cousin used to have a home studio in his like bedroom. We used to record in the closet. But my first time in a real studio, I think I was like 19, 20.
So now, God forbid you gotta go away. We always gonna think for the worst and prepare for the best, right? How do you think this would affect your music career? Because people got their eyes on you right now.
I think it would slow it down a little bit, because if I did have to go away, I'm not putting out nothing.
Right.
And it's like, I don't trust nobody enough to leave them with my shit.
And that's
shit.
The thing, are lie. You, because
I'm not doing that.
I asked you that, because if you're preparing, you always got to prepare. Mm-hmm. If you're preparing for the loss of the case, you should be beating that studio down every day, putting 5-10 songs together. So when you do go, and if it is for an 18-month situation, and every 60 days, 5 songs going to drop to keep my name going, to keep me hot, because you know niggas come out every 30 seconds. You know what I'm saying?
But you know, I've been thinking about that, like you said, preparing for the worst, hoping for the best, but I also believe in manifesting, so I feel like if I start moving like that's going to happen, it's going to happen.
Right.
So I don't want to do that, because I feel like I'm not giving myself the chance to think this is going to work out.
Right.
So I didn't do it.
Are you religious?
I believe in God, but I wouldn't say, like, I'm not, like, have a specific religion.
Okay.
Like, I've been in church. When I was with my baby father, I was Muslim. That was the whole African thing. But I do believe in God, but I don't go to church.
You pray?
Yeah, but I do pray. I talk to God every day, every morning, every night, even when I'm not asking for something. Just being graceful.
And while you was in there doing that, you was in there talking to God every day?
I told him, like, Lord, I don't know what I did to anybody in my life, but I don't know why I'm here. But you let me out of here. I promise, I'm good. I'm on the right track. Like, I'm not. And it's so funny. Like, it's crazy you asked that, because I said that prayer and I end up getting released the next morning. That's the crazy part.
That's what's up.
And that's when I was like, my mom was like, yeah, you gotta believe and you gotta have faith. You need to have faith. Because for a while, I'm like, I'm not coming home. That's what I kept thinking.
Just putting your mind into the mindset of, fuck it. Okay, so if whatever good happened out of it, fuck it.
Yeah, because I was upset. Because they found a firearm in my home, but it wasn't mine. So, but because it was my home and my name is on the lease, automatically in my head, I'm like, I'm not coming home. They're not going to care what I have to say, nothing. They found this, they're going to stick to that. And I kept thinking to myself, like, if this never was a thing, I would have never sat that long. And that was another thing I was upset about, because I didn't even know it was there. But, you know, the person took ownership for it. They did an affidavit.
Right. That happens. I mean, at least they were standing up and able to do that.
Yeah,
because a lot of motherfuckers ain't standing up out here. You know that. Motherfuckers is not standing up out here.
I'm hoping.
So now
it work out. It's gonna work out. I believe it's gonna work out, because even when you asked me, like, you know, if this could be a thing, why, you know, do your music so that you could drop, but I'm preparing for it to work out. So that way, when this is all over and the case is closed, oh my God, the song that I'm going to drop. The video that I'm going to drop.
So now let me ask you this. With all these cases between then and the previous, how does that affect, like, a job search and apartment search and shit like that?
Remember how earlier I was talking about life be life-ing? Life has been... First of all, my SOAR license got suspended, and I was just going for my armed guard. So... my armed guard application got rejected because I have a firearm charge. And the NJ State Police suspended my SOAR license to do security, so I can't work that no more. Every other thing that I've been trying to do, and it be pissing me off. Like, this is going to make me emotional, because people look at it like, you lazy, you not doing nothing. And it's hard to try to do stuff like a legal way to get money. And it's like every interview I've had since that arrest, I get denied the job once my background check come back. And people like, you know, why don't you just do Burger King or something like that? Like, I even got denied a job at Wendy's, and I was surprised at that.
They run background check now, too.
Yeah. And before, it used to be easy. Like, anybody, felony charges, you could get a job at a fast food still. But even them now, it's looking into, you know...
Because I think it used to be how you have been convicted of a crime on application, and now it's in the last 7 years or something like that, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. And once you put yes, and then you got to describe in that little box, you know what I mean?
And then it depends on the charge at that. Nobody wants to hire somebody that has firearm charges, aggravated assault with firearms. It makes you look violent.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I try to do DSP jobs. Direct support professional. It's kind of like CNA, but you don't need a license for it.
Mm-hmm.
Denied. I try to do, because I was taking courses online for coding and crypto, because I feel like that's where the money at. Everything is in tech. Denied. Home Depot, denied. Wendy's, denied. I applied for a beauty supply, denied. Like, it's been so hard. Like, and at this current moment, I am not employed. So... it's crazy. I was just crying yesterday. I was being so emotional about it. I was on the phone with my mom. She's like, you gotta make something happen. You gotta do something. And I'm like, listen, I get what you're saying. Times is not what it was when you was 27. Like, it's 2025, and we in the government shutdown, and I'm facing these charges. It's supposed to be innocent until proven guilty, but you really guilty until proven innocent, because how is it that I could be charged for something you don't even prove that, like...
you don't even know what the outcome going to be. I could be found not guilty
tomorrow. Like... it's messing up everything. And then I do sometimes have resentment, because the person who put me in the position, she took everything that she did, and like, she went to try to flee, like, she was in a domestic situation with me, so they gave her help because of it. Like, they gave her an apartment, she got money for a car, she has her house. And, like, you know, this person, she's been arrested for multiple things. And she has, like, 5 kids. And they took her kids. Like, she have child abuse charges. So I'm like, how is it, like, I get put here, and then y'all just give her all of this? So I be having resentment, because I'm like, damn, like, I was on my shit. I'm not a lazy person. I will work, and I have a child to provide for. There was the time I was working 3 jobs. I was working at AutoZone, Prudential Center, and Wingstop. It's times I couldn't even spend time with my kid, because I got like an hour to go to work.
Right.
I got to split my time, 25 minutes. I'm going to sleep. I'm going to cook something. I'm going to eat. I'm going to play. I got to go to work now. Like, it's so annoying. Like, right now, I even tried to, like, I didn't call the judge's chambers, but, like, the prosecutor's office. And I'm like, is there any type of writing y'all can give me to show that I'm not currently convicted at this moment? Like, right. Yes, my case is open, but this is affecting licenses I have, certificates that I have. Like, everything's getting suspended. Jobs don't want to hire me. I can't even... I used to work in daycares. I can't do that. Can't like, do that, everything is messed up. Everything. So... And then, you know, we have the government shut down. The stamps is finna be gone next month. Like when I say life is life at this specific moment in time, like, I'm like, listen, I don't have not a nick of nothing. Like, I'd be grateful to even have a moment where, like, somebody can come through for me. Like, I have a nice, a friend of mine. I was, like, on the phone crying about something. And she's like, check your stairs. I'm like, check my stairs for what? I went outside and she left me a bunch of journals. And in the journals, it had, like, sticky notes of, like, affirmations. She's like, everything gonna be all right. You're gonna be okay. And then she sent me, like, $30 on Cash App. Like, I don't know what you're gonna need it for, but here. Right. Or, you know, I was dating a guy. We'd be, like, off and on. But even him, like, he works a certain job. He was sending me, like, $300 every morning just so I could keep up with my rent. So, it's like, you do have people around you that believe in you, that help you. But it's still hard because I've never been the type to ask or I need whatever. So now to be in a position where it's like, dang, I can't even get a job. It's bothering me so bad.
Tell me about it. I mean, I know when I came home, it was a struggle. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you apply for certain jobs and they tell you, hold on. Don't get the job. You got 2, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, no income. You're trying to figure it out. You're scrambling and scraping, trying to figure this shit out. I'm saying, you got times. Like, my first job coming home, I worked at a parking garage, parking cars. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And mentally, I'm saying to myself, like, I know I'm better than this. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I know I'm better than this. But it's like, look, bro, you got to do something. You know what I'm saying? And as time went on, I was just blessed. I was just blessed to be pulled in by certain people and have certain things bypassed. And mm-hmm. I'm even looking to some people I may know to see if I could find something that's
suitable for you
or something like that. You know what I mean? I know a lot of people
in
a lot
school,
of places.
Like, you know, like, the schools are doing background check. I tried to sign up for a phlebotomy, and I was told I cannot work in the nursing field with that type of charge.
Now, wait. Now, let me ask you a question. Are they going from the charge pending or the previous charges?
No, they're going from the charge pending because the previous charges were dismissed.
Okay.
And the first two charges, I was
a
minor.
How were they even able to... I got to holler at my guy, E. He got his whole stuff expunged. He's very, very knowledgeable with this stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tap it with him on that as well for you, too, because there's a way where what's pending shouldn't even be seen. It's pending. It's not... I haven't even been charged yet.
I tried to sign up for Uber Eats, and I even got denied that. And they sent me back my background, and it showed all my pending charges. And that was Uber Eats. Mm-hmm. It's literally affecting everything. Like, I don't know if it's this new system going on, but they can see it. And I think that it's because it's a felony charge. I think if it wasn't a felony charge, they probably wouldn't be able to see it.
Right. And these are the things behind the scenes of catching these cases, mm-hmm. sometimes necessary, sometimes unnecessary, sometimes frivolous, sometimes crash out. Mm-hmm. But we catch these cases, and I'm speaking to the youth right now. You catch these cases when you're 17, 18, 19, and you're not going to always be that age. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And then you get in your cool down era, and you have, you know how many luxury apartments I done went, signed up for, souped up, I got my key. Mm-hmm. Oh, you gonna move in on the third, and then on the second, Mr. Bryant, we got some unfortunate news. Mm. A lot of people don't do the background check right then and there. Even some jobs, right, they'll do it like after you've been working 2 months, 3 months, they done ran your shit. The human resource done put it off, and eventually they gotta do it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, I've been emotional plenty nights. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, what the fuck, yo? Like, I ain't take nothing from nobody. Like, you know what I mean? I ain't molest nobody. I ain't the fuck, like, cause I carry a pit, like, I carry a gun sometime, or cause I, the fuck, like, I can't get an apartment, like, I can't get a job, like, what the fuck, like, I thought they believe in change, like, I thought this happened fucking 2000, 2001, and I'm still at 2025 paying for things that I did in 2001.
Yeah, I feel like they need to have some type of limitation on once this amount of time go past that this person didn't get in trouble, that it, this needs to be not a thing.
I'm going to tap you in with my expungement guy because I know you're going to beat this. All right? I know you're going to beat this. You're going to put that out there. I know you're going to beat this.
Yeah, because I keep asking God, man, what is the plan? Like, what, like, my mom was just telling me yesterday, she was like, she asked me the same question you asked me too. Like, do you pray? I'm like, yeah, I pray. I don't only pray when I'm asking for something, but I'm like, at this time, I don't know where I'm going. Like, and I've never been that type of person.
Right.
I'm, like, very strategic and very organized, like, with everything I do. Like, by next Friday, I will be knowing what I'll be doing. Like, that's how my mind works.
Right.
And it has not been like that. Since all this happened, it's, like, everything is cluttered. Like, I even find myself changing my house around just because I feel like, I don't know what I'd be thinking it's going to do, but I'd be like, you know, let me just scrub the walls, move the dresser over here, and put the bed over here, and clean up space over here, and maybe I could think better. Like, I don't know. It's driving me crazy. I just
spirit,
been, yeah, like.
It's talking to you. That's what's going on. You have to allow it to happen naturally.
Yeah.
So you asking God what's going on, he's telling you, this is what's happening right now. This shift is happening.
Oh, by the way, the voice y'all hear is Maisa's.
Yeah, they're like,
the voice,
she
is, and I got something special coming up in a few minutes.
She
I got
something special. She
I got the voice you hear. It's not an alien. it's a whole person. We speaking like Moses and shit. But nah, but she know what I mean? She's the co-host. Y'all remember from the very, 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 very beginning of the shit. And I have her here today because there's an emotional thing here going on when it comes to female guests that. I can tap into the physical, but the female can tap into the mental more than I, and that's what her purpose is here for today. But yeah, like, the job shit is like, all this shit is meant to break you down. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know sometimes what it takes for a person that's been through it to tell somebody that haven't been through it yet that's chasing this shit, like, yo, stop! Like, no! Like, stop right now while you can. Trust me, you do not want to get into this shit. Like, you're not always, if you make it, because some of these little homies dying 14, 15,
16. Listen, I try to tell the person I mentioned before who, you know, did the affidavit in my case. He's doing this thing where he's like, you're going to be good. Like, I did the thing. Like, you're going to be fine if I got to go to jail. It's whatever. But he's never been to jail. He's never even been arrested. And I'm like, all the rapping shit is cool. All the shit your friends talking about is cool.
Right.
That shit is not, like, you saying so that, it like that. So but that's you, not what it is.
So now you got another stress. Another stress is, if he do take, if it do go, because it is, whatever, if he takes accountability for his actions, now he got to go in there, and now you're thinking about that every day.
Yeah, so the case is so weird, because it's like, it could, well, he's definitely going to be arrested for it, because he took the charge, so it's going to be a charge, so he's going to be booked for it, but because he has no criminal background, no priors, no nothing.
It'll be a slap on the wrist. It'll be.
Yeah. I think he's going to be able to fight it from home. Like, I don't think he's going to have to sit as long as I did. But, yeah, even with that, it's like a lot. Because my mom had my son when I was in jail, and he was in my house.
Right.
Like, he was holding my house, and my mom had my son. Like, she would go to my house to check out my house, but I sometimes feel bad. Like, people say, nah, you shouldn't feel bad because, you know, this person should have told you. Like, they should have told you. You wouldn't, it wouldn't have been that deep if they told you. But then I do feel bad because this specific person is not a violent person. Like, at all. Like, he's been through some stuff in his past, but
I mean, but we live in violent times right now.
He's so he's taught me a lot. Like, when I say knowledgeable, like, I feel like as women, we don't like to admit that. I don't care what nobody say. Men need women, women need men. We be waking up, fuck that nigga, no. Like, people hate when I speak on him, but I'm like, he taught me a lot. Like, I knew a lot in myself, but he's very knowledgeable. He knew stuff that I didn't know. Like, we could be watching something, and he'd be like, yeah, because in 1977, da-da-da. And I'd be like, what? And I'll Google it, and it'll be exactly what he said. Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, how you know that? And he's like, I read, I be doing this, I be doing that. So I do feel bad because he's not a street guy. He's very traditional. Like, he will throw hands before he take it there. Like, he will work before he like, I be feeling bad. Yeah, man. I'm like, damn, like, this shit.
Because you don't always got to be, and we got this perception, it's fucked up, that you got to be a street nigga or got to be a street dude to have respect or to be liked or to be loved. Where niggas feel like they gotta be super tough or be on the corner with the niggas. And that's a certain lifestyle that certain type of people have to live. And I got homies that's cool as fuck. And they known for being cool as fuck. They're not gangster. They're not tough. Gangsta, first and foremost.
It's okay not to be gangster.
First and foremost. And I was just about to touch on that. Like, gangster is ignorance. All right? To walk around thinking that you gotta prove something to another motherfucker.
He was like, you be gangster, I'm gonna be chilling.
It's fucking ignorant. It's fucking ignorant as fuck. You know what I'm saying? To think that I gotta impress you by being somebody I'm not. By being, hey, yo, no bullshit. I'm from New York. I'm from Brooklyn. But I'm there's not an area that I can't go to and it don't got nothing to do with my gangster. Niggas like me. I mean, now when I feel disrespected, you're going to get that side of me, because I'm going to give you out first. Like, bro, you sure this is what you want to do? Like, I ain't no bitch. Like, I'm not the one you're going to play with neither. Like, and there's nothing wrong with standing up for yourself,
right?
Defending yourself. I mean, getting somebody out of your personal space and not claiming the role as, yo, I'm tough. I'm a gangster. You don't have to be a gangster to get respect from men. Like, you
and that's
saying?
Him. Even sometimes when I did have crash outs, like, there's been times, like, I see a person and I want to fight. And he'd be like, yo, you don't even got to do all that. Like, what you trying to do that for? Come in the house, like, you doing too much. And I'd be like, nah, you being a pussy, like, you trick, like, what? Like, go where? And he'd be like, it's not worth it. And sometimes I get upset because I'm like, it's been a couple of situations I've been in and I wish I would have listened. Yeah, I do think I'm hard-headed. Not even just, like, as far as him. Like, I do think I have a hard time, like, being told, like, especially when my emotions involve, and somebody be like, oh, nah, you doing too much? Like, that makes me mad the most, because in my head, I don't feel like it's too much for what I feel at that moment. But that's why I mentioned earlier, like, the last, like, 2 to 3 months, I've been in chill mode because I've been realizing that I am a major part of the problem.
So now, from that 30 days, the week before the first time that you've been inside, do you feel like this would be difficult for you if you got to go in there?
Yeah, because one, I'm not used to being locked down. Two, I'm not used to being away from my son. And then three, the thing that was bothering me the most outside of my kid was not knowing. I did not know what's going on outside. Like, I was in there thinking, like, damn, right now it's 3 o'clock in the morning. If I was home, I would be doing this right now, 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm in this cell, 23 and 1. And I'm thinking, like, damn, like, what's my son doing at this moment? What's my mom doing at this moment while I'm just sitting here, like, with a wall? Like, that's what I kept thinking about while I was in there.
You know what's the hardest part? I did 9 year sentence. The hardest part was year one, when I had to disconnect from all that.
Yeah, you had to get used to it.
I'm in here until that day on that calendar come around. And worried about that. Had me, I'm first year, I'm calling home, yo, what's going on, yo, hey, yo, y'all niggas did what, niggas did what, niggas playing with me in this motherfucker, yo, go through there, but then it's like, as I'm on the phone doing this, somebody getting stabbed down the hall. You know what I'm saying? And it's going down with the Pittsburgh niggas and the Cali niggas and the Philly niggas. I haven't got time to worry about Jersey City streets right now. I got to worry about this penitentiary shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? And I didn't have a kid. Mm-hmm. And my mother was deceased. So those were two major stresses I didn't have.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It was just all me. You know what I'm saying? So I was able to... I didn't have no girlfriend. Mm-hmm. I didn't have no kids. And my mother was already gone. So it was like, nigga, I'll max this shit out. Fuck it. You know what I'm saying? That was my attitude year one. Year six, it's like, no way to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah,
like, no, when I'm 21, I'm thinking this way. At 26, I'm thinking this way. At 30, the fuck was I doing when I was back there? Like, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I'm glad you being accountable in your situation. I'm glad you're aware of your situation. I pray that everything works out in the situation for you. You know what I'm saying?
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Now, I want to ask you another question real quick. Was CPS trying to get involved in your shit and all this?
Surprisingly not. I swear to God, that was the biggest thing my mom kept talking about. Like, you gonna get a case. I hope you ready. I'm like, but they never, like, came to my house. I never had an open case. They never tried to take my son. Like, it was never a thing.
Because this was the same house that your son was living in. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was, that's what I'm like, wait, I'm on
the... I think maybe, like... if the police would have called, but then I told you I wasn't home. Nobody was in my home.
Right,
there was
only
one person there.
Okay.
When the police came to my home, my son, it's so crazy how stuff happened. Cause like I was in the studio making a song. The person I deal with, he went to go see his kids, and it was just one person in the house. And my son happened to be with his grandmother for the weekend.
Thank God for that.
So.
Thank God for that. Thank God for that.
I think that's probably why. I mean, because there was no kid in there. Mm-hmm. And then, I don't have Section 8, but I know they say, like, some people, like, who have, like, Section 8, if this is foul, like, they lose Section 8.
Oh, yeah, if you'd have had housing, you'd have Section 8, you'd have been, you'd have came home, your stuff would have been outside.
Yeah, I know.
Word, you came home, your shit would have been outside.
Luckily, I still got my apartment.
No questions asked.
That's I need good. Some Section 8, somebody.
Yo, know, I never met nobody with a Section 8 plug. I don't know nobody with a plug.
I'm trying to understand.
I don't know who got the Section 8 plug.
A friend of mine just got Section 8, and he's 32, and he don't have no kids or nothing. But I think he got like through like mental health because he like bipolar. I'm like, dang, like what's it gonna take? I need some help.
So what I'm gonna do right now, cause I feel the emotional side creeping in, know what I mean? And this is the emotional guru over here, know what I mean? So I'm a twister podcast for a second, and I'm gonna let my co-host holler at you, know what I mean? Because I feel like right now, you're going through some shit.
I was like, God, when is the break?
You got a lot on your, know what I mean? You got a lot on your plate at the moment, and you gotta get that up off you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Don't make me cry.
And I know somebody that's gonna help you do that. You know what I mean? So I'm gonna roll up a blunt over here in the corner. And my, you know what I mean? I'm gonna take my shoes off and relax with my slippers on. And I'm gonna sit back and I'm gonna watch the show.
Yes.
Really? that's all right. Go ahead.
I've been holding it. I was waiting for the little break so I could.
The little break.
Yeah. Because I've been holding it. You doing so good, young lady.
Thank you.
How you feeling?
I feel good. You know, I think this is the thing. I probably feel like I had to talk about it. Because I don't be feeling like I could talk about it.
Why? Nobody talk to about it?
It's not that. I think the people...